Why are today's children 5 to 8 times more anxious than kids during the Great Depression? The answer isn't what you'd expect. It's not smartphones alone, or academic pressure, or even social media, though these all play a role. The real culprit is something more fundamental, a profound loss of control over their own lives. Think about it. When did your child last make a meaningful decision about their day, their schedule, their future? For most kids, the answer is sobering. We've created a generation where every hour is managed, every choice is supervised, and every mistake is prevented, and their brains are paying the price. The research is startling. A sense of control isn't just nice to have, it's the single most important factor in human well-being. Lab studies show that rats who believe they can stop electric shocks experience dramatically lower stress, even when their wheel isn't actually connected to anything. The perception of control alone changes their brain chemistry. Now consider your teenager, whose entire day, from wake-up time to bedtime, is dictated by others. Their stress response isn't overreacting, it's responding rationally to a genuine threat, powerlessness. Picture two 15-year-olds. Adam lives on Chicago's South Side and recently lost his brother to gun violence. Zara attends an elite DC private school, juggling 5 AP classes, varsity soccer, and volunteer work. Their lives couldn't be more different, yet brain scans would show remarkably similar patterns: elevated cortisol, sleep deprivation, and hyperactive stress response systems. Both are experiencing toxic stress, the kind that literally reshapes developing brains. Four key systems explain how stress affects the brain. The pilot, prefrontal cortex, handles planning and self-control. The lion fighter, amygdala, floods the brain with survival chemicals. The cheerleader, dopamine system, drives motivation. The Buddha, default mode network, processes experiences during downtime. When stress persists without recovery, these systems malfunction. The amygdala enlarges, heightening anxiety. The prefrontal cortex disconnects, impairing judgment. Dopamine plummets, triggering depression. Adolescents are particularly vulnerable. Their stress responses are 3 times stronger than adults and take 3 times longer to recover. Here's the crucial difference. Unlike autism, anxiety and depression are largely shaped by experience, not genetics. The antidote? Restoring their healthy sense of control, something they naturally crave from the moment they first declare, "I did it myself." 15-year-old Jonah spent 90 minutes nightly pretending to do homework while his parents hovered, warning about college and failure. Their implicit message, "We know what's right for you and you don't," left Jonah with only one way to assert his identity: refusing to work. His parents expended 95 units of energy trying to make homework happen. Jonah responded with just 5. Everyone was miserable. The breakthrough came when his parents shifted from manager to consultant. Instead of directing every move, they asked, "What do you think the problem is? What matters to you? What would help?" This wasn't abdication. They still maintained boundaries, but they recognized you can't force motivation. This approach gives children responsibility before they deserve it. The brain develops according to how it's used. Giving children control over decisions activates their prefrontal cortex and builds resilience. The consultant approach creates a safe base where children feel unconditionally loved regardless of grades. The difference between successful and unsuccessful students often isn't intelligence. It's about who feels responsible. Matt craved independence throughout high school, breaking rules from anxiety about feeling controlled. His parents valued their relationship over control, even signing a letter making him his own legal guardian for senior year. Though he completely abused the privilege, he eventually earned his degree, conquered his anxiety, and now runs a successful think tank. "It's your call" doesn't mean children rule the household. You still set limits about your own participation. With teens, control what you're willing to provide rather than physically controlling them. It's never about manipulation, making kids think a decision is theirs when it's actually yours. Decision-making experience develops the prefrontal cortex and builds resilience. Adolescent brains aren't fully mature, but waiting until the late 20s makes no sense. Brains develop through use. When parents overdirect their children's lives, they create either rebellion or imposter syndrome. When Max was given responsibility to choose his high school, he carefully evaluated options and chose to stay, the same conclusion his parents preferred, but one he reached independently. Parents worry that without consequences, children won't learn, but negative outcomes aren't always necessary. Most setbacks are temporary. Even Molly, who performed poorly her first college semester, recovered and entered medical school. For anxious children who fear deciding, ask what they would choose if they had to, often revealing they already know what they want. Managing your own stress is the most effective parenting strategy. Anxiety runs in families. Up to 50% of children of anxious parents develop anxiety disorders. ORCID children are highly sensitive to parenting styles, thriving with calm nurturing but struggling with high-strung parenting. Children's amygdala sense threat in others' emotions, while mirror neurons literally mirror what they observe in parents. You cannot hide anxiety from children. Involuntary facial expressions reveal emotions regardless of intention. Children, being great observers but lousy interpreters, often misattribute parental stress as directed at them. One child whose father was stressed about work concluded, "Dad must be disappointed in me." Just as children mirror parental stress, they also mirror parental calm. Studies with rat mothers showed that calm, attentive parenting produced calmer pups. Even genetically anxious rat pups raised by calm foster mothers became calm themselves, proving environment can override genetic predisposition. Make enjoying your children your top priority. Studies show children want their parents to be happier and less stressed, even more than spending additional time together. We say we're only as happy as our least happy child, but the reverse is equally true. Children worry about us. Motivation can't be forced. Research shows external motivators like sticker charts actually undermine intrinsic motivation over time, eroding genuine interest. Four ingredients develop authentic motivation. First is mindset. Carol Dweck's research shows students with a fixed mindset view mistakes as inability, while those with a growth mindset see effort as improvement's path. Second is autonomy, competence, and relatedness, explaining why tasks matter and allowing personal freedom generates more motivation than rewards or punishments. Third is optimal dopamine, the neurochemical driving motivation. When children engage in appropriately challenging activities, they enter a flow state where dopamine spikes, enhancing brain performance and sculpting naturally motivated neural pathways. Children process motivation differently than adults. Girls generally have higher dopamine levels activating earlier, making them stress about deadlines, while boys often need deadline pressure to activate their motivation systems. Children at both extremes, perfectionists and those who seem not to care, share low sense of control. When kids work hard at something they enjoy, they're developing a brain that can eventually enable success elsewhere. For children lacking motivation for anything, first rule out medical causes, then encourage service activities and limit passive entertainment. Modern culture has abandoned the balance between activity and rest. Radical downtime, purposeful rest, allowing the brain to process, integrate, and recover, has become rare yet remains crucial for cognitive development. Parents often fill every moment with activities, preventing the mental processing that happens during unstructured time. Learning to tolerate solitude is one of childhood's most important skills. Child psychologist Lynn Fry recommends having children create lists of self-directed activities, empowering them to manage boredom independently. School programs implementing mindfulness show remarkable benefits: reduced stress and aggression, improved executive function, and better math performance. NYU researcher Josh Arizin found disadvantaged students practicing mindfulness reported unprecedented experiences, feeling comfortable in their bodies and noticing beauty in their surroundings for the first time. Sleep is foundational to everything else. Sleep deprivation functions as chronic stress, producing higher cortisol levels, increased stress reactivity, and inflammation. Insufficient sleep makes the amygdala more reactive, explaining sleep-deprived teens' mood swings and poor judgment. Students who excel academically while remaining happy typically prioritize sleep, going to bed by 10 p.m. Sleep literally heals. During REM sleep, all stress-related neurochemicals are absent, allowing emotional experiences to be processed safely. This is why problems often look better in the morning. The paradox is that to gain control through sleep, you must first let go of control to fall asleep, something parents cannot do for their children. But by protecting downtime, modeling healthy rest, and prioritizing sleep over achievement, parents give their children the foundation for everything else. In a world obsessed with optimization, we've forgotten something essential. Children aren't problems to be solved or projects to be managed. They're human beings learning to navigate an increasingly complex world, and they need something we've been withholding: trust in their own capability. The research is clear. Control isn't something we grant when children prove themselves worthy. It's the very thing that makes them worthy. Every time we step back and say, "It's your call," we're not abandoning our children. We're giving them the most powerful gift imaginable: belief in themselves. Your anxious, unmotivated, or struggling child isn't broken. They're responding rationally to powerlessness. The question isn't whether they can handle more control, it's whether we can handle giving it to them.